Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
You are chosen of God. Folks, this kind of choosing, I mean, you look at it in the salvation sense, you look at it in a vocational sense also. And God has a part for you to play in this life. And He has chosen you and has given you these certain gifts so that He might appoint you to walk after Him and to be pleasing to Him and to have influence in this world. That's what He's chosen you to. He's chosen you to that kind of lifestyle, that kind of life.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Got through the first verse and try to get through the second verse today. I want to ask you a question that was raised last week. The question is what is defining you today? In your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you act, the way you perform? I mean, what is it that defines you? Now, you know, God has given us each a personality, and God doesn't want you to change your personality, that's for sure. God has wired you a certain way in this life. But I do think and believe that God desires to transform our lives in such a way that our personalities are being controlled by the Spirit of God. So that the things that sometimes come negative to us in our personalities become positive in many ways. Now the question I ask is, what defines you? What is it that describes you in this life? Who is it in this life that you just think of their words about you and you live that? You know, some of you grew up with families and under parents whose words defined you, and they spoke these words, and sometimes the words were ugly, and they were neglectful, and they were hurtful. Some words have caused grief in your life. Some of you have been defined by your failures and your sinfulness, the things that you did before in your life. Maybe you failed in a job, or because you had an unsuccessful season in your life, or because you sinned very badly, and you've allowed the guilt of that failure to define your life, to define your conscience, and even your heart. And folks, those are the things that are not supposed to be defining you today. It's very clear that as we walk in this life, that we do have impact and consequences of our behavior. But God comes along and He says, listen, I want to define you as someone very special in this life. No matter where you've been or what you've heard, you are a very special person in God's eyes and in God's life. Matter of fact, so much He thought of you when He died. To change your life wholly. The question that I'm asking you today is, what's defining you today? What's coming forth from your life? See, that's what I believe the letter from Peter to the scattered is all about. It's defining you and me of who we are in Christ. And we saw last week that the very first thing that he said is, listen, you don't belong to this world. You are an alien. And that's exactly what he says here. I want you to notice in the first two verses, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, in order that you may obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for just a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. In these nine verses of Scripture, he says, listen, you are aliens, you are chosen, you are born again. In verse 4, you are heirs, you have an inheritance. In verse 5, you are protected. And then in verse 6, you are the proven. Six qualities of your life and my life that the Scripture and the Spirit is defining you. He is saying, this is who you are. And the question is will we walk in agreement with what he says and who he says we are, or will we just say, not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what my daddy said. I'm going to believe what the world says. I'm going to believe what my mama said about me. I'm going to believe what I say about me. Or am I going to believe what he says? Folks, you're an alien. You do not belong to this world. You have a transforming spirit that is being transformed as you walk this out, as you live this out, finding freedom one day and more freedom the next. You're being transformed from glory to glory. This is not your world. You do not belong here. And in not belonging here, even though you do live here, you're to live, as we saw last week, as light, as ambassadors, and as those who please the Master. And you know, when I think about just who I am and who I belong to, it's not so much that I think about, well, I don't belong here. I think more as, well, who I belong to. I don't belong here, but I belong to Jesus. And that's what I want to suggest to you in this message this morning. Notice what he says. You reside as aliens, but you're chosen. We are a chosen priesthood. We are chosen of God. And as a result of being chosen, we have ministry. We have this wonderful opportunity to walk after Him, to live after Him, to see His glory, to see His power. Because, folks, He chose us. That's the bottom line. He chose you and me. Now, when I think about being chosen, I think of a couple of things that come to my mind. I think if God chose me, or if I'm chosen, it means that I'm favored. And I'm blessed. And there's something that God sees in you and me that would say, I want you, and I desire you. And from the foundation of the world, I've desired you. When I think of this passage of Scripture, of being chosen, I think of, I'm loved, I'm liked. I get to hear Him say, hey, I'm your friend. Chosen by God. Now, what does that mean? And what is the implications of being chosen? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to notice in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. Now watch, verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. And in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons, through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. And in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on the earth. Notice what He says in verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before you and I breathe, before you and I live, before you and I were born, God had you and me in mind. Before there was something that ever came off your tongue, as we're going to see in just a few minutes. You're chosen. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 41. John 6, 41. The Jews were grumbling about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down of heaven. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, I have come down out of heaven? And Jesus said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. Now watch, verse 44. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Notice what He says. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. You can't come to God unless He draws you. You understand that? Unless He's drawing you, you cannot come, according to this passage of Scripture, according to this Word. I want to ask you a question. Just think about it. If I'm dead in my trespasses and sin, how in the world could I ever respond on my own? It's a God thing. It's the God power that comes along and just says, hey, I see that you're dead. I'm going to call you to life. And I want to tell you, folks, when I hear it, I come to life. And I got to say, you know what? It wasn't anything that Mike Fritcher did, except at that moment, hear the voice and just believe he was calling me. Believing that he chose me. Believing that he's doing this work in my life. Yeah, that's the response. I just believe it. And I want to believe that I'm a chosen one of God. Look at verses 63 through 71 for just a moment. It says, it's the Spirit who gives life. Your flesh can profit nothing. It's the Spirit that breathes life into you. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there's some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. And I want you to notice this. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. In other words, we don't like what you just said, Jesus. We don't like the idea that you said that we can't come to you unless you draw us. So I'm no longer going to walk with you anymore. I don't want a God like that. You heard that? I don't want a God like that. So they withdrew from him. And Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have no other place to go. You have words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Scripture makes it very clear that we are chosen of God, that we did not choose him, he chose us. Now, folks, this does not negate your will, okay? It's very important. It's one of the paradoxes of Scripture. He chose you, you must respond. When I think about the sovereign will of God and our response, I see it as just kind of like a parallel railroad where you've got these rails parallel moving. And they're inseparable. You got to have them both. And folks, we don't understand being chosen of God and yet having to respond. It's the paradox of Scripture. Just because it says I'm chosen doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to respond. I'm supposed to respond. I mean, you look at Scripture, just Scripture after Scripture, and here you have a paradox. You are chosen of God, but it does not negate the will of God. I mean, look at the Scriptures that speak about responding. Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose of yourselves today whom you'll serve. Choose God. So wait a minute, I just thought he just said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. It's a paradox of Scripture. It's not something that just is contradictory. It's just paradoxical, and we can't understand it. Our finite mind cannot conceive this. But nevertheless, you are chosen of God. Chosen. And that ought to make you feel so loved. That ought to make you feel so grateful to God that God would come along and see you and me as someone as filthy in our sins and say, guess what? I choose you in spite of it. I love you while you're a sinner. I love you while you're an enemy. I love you while you're ungodly. I love you while you're helpless. Before you can do anything, I've been loving you, church. I've been loving you, mister. I've been loving you, lady. I've been loving you, son and daughter. I've been doing this from the foundation of the world. And some of us want to say, well, what about those people over there? And they're not chosen. Listen, folks, that's not what this is all about. I mean, what he's talking to the church. I mean, you can get all tripped up about this. You get all tripped up about it. But I want to tell you, if you get tripped up about it, you miss the blessing that says, my God chose me. My God loved me enough that he wanted me with him for eternity, that he died for me. He, above all, thought of me, chose me. And that's why I said last week, I'm going to say it again here in a little bit, we ought to be the happiest. We ought to be the most grateful people. We ought to never, ever have to complain about anything because we're chosen of God. God loves us. He loved you. And he chose us according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Now, folks, a lot of people want to say, well, he chose you because he knew what you were going to do. Folks, I'm sorry, but that's not what that word means. There may be some truth in that, but that's not what that word means. It means that he knew you before the foundation of the world. Not only did he have you in mind, but he knew you. He knew everything about you. And in that knowing, he loved you. And so he chose you according to knowing you before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians and as it says here. And so when he knew us, the Scripture says, that's how he chose us, because he knew us. Notice some Scriptures up on the screen. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I consecrated you. And I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's what he said to Jeremiah. When he says to Isaiah 49, he says, listen, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples. The Lord called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. He named me. Galatians 1:15, Paul said, but when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, before I did one thing bad, before I did one thing wrong, he called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Folks, this kind of predestination, this kind of choosing, I mean, you look at it in the salvation sense, you look at it in a vocational sense also. That God has a part for you to play in this life. And he has chosen you and has given you these certain gifts so that he might appoint you to walk after him and to be pleasing to him and to have influence in this world. That's what he's chosen you to. He's chosen you to that kind of lifestyle, that kind of life. Scripture says he chose us according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Notice in verse 2, we're back in 1 Peter, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. He chose us by sanctifying us in the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn just a few pages to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Notice what he says, we once were foolish ourselves. That's why you should never, ever, ever be critical of someone who's foolish. You know why? Because you were there one time. And some of us still struggle with it, right? Do foolish things. He says, for we once were foolish ourselves. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. We spent our life in malice, envy, hating one another. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Does this describe your former way of life, or does it describe your present way of life? Because I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible just said that I once was this. I'm in Christ. Because notice the very next thing. He says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, watch, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of by the Holy Spirit whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He chose you by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. In other words, this choosing is an ongoing work in your life. It is by God sanctifying you and making you holy. And when you notice back in Ephesians, he says, listen, I chose you to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world. Don't get tripped up about God beforehand. I mean, you thank God that God has chosen you to something wonderful, to something alive, to something living, by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit in your life. Scripture also says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that not only were we chosen by the foreknowledge of God and by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, but we were, and just as I just mentioned, we were chosen to obey Jesus and to be sprinkled with His blood. Now I think about this wonderful thought of being chosen, and I got to ask the question, how am I to respond to that? And like I said before, we ought to be jumping up and down in celebration that our God chose us. Have you ever been in a pickup game as a child and you had two captains? Have you ever been chosen first? I can remember as a small boy being chosen last, and then as an older boy being chosen first, and then being a little bit older, being the one choosing. And I can remember as a child, because we had a lot, just an empty lot for years right next to us where all the neighborhood kids came. And we did pick up soccer games and pick up football games and softball and, I mean, you just name it, we did it all. But we always had a captain, two captains, and they always chose. And I can remember thinking, boy, I hope this guy picks me. And I can tell you the disappointment was when he didn't. I was disappointed. Because I had to be with this guy. Because this guy was the stud. This guy was the guy. I mean, he was the one that was going to take you to victory. He's the one who's going to throw the ball just right. He's the one that's going to know just what to do. Why don't I tell you what? Our God's just the guy. He's just the one. He's the one that chose you. And I want to tell you, there ought to be a forever gratefulness in your heart and life that will live a lifestyle holy and blameless. And I want to tell you, that's the very first thing, is that we live this holy and blameless life before Him. I mean, He chose us to this. That's what I want to live. We also live bearing eternal fruit. In John 15:16, it says, you didn't choose me.
but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now I want to tell you, this is not just for the 12 disciples. This is for the church of God. He chose us that we might go and bear fruit, and that fruit might be eternal. And I want to just stop here for just a second and say, listen, God wants you defined by the fruit coming off of your life, not by your job, not by your giftedness. God doesn't want to define me as a preacher, although that's a part of my life, or a pastor. Because I can be a pastor and preacher and go straight to hell, folks. I want to be defined by the good tree in Matthew chapter 7. I want to be defined by the fruit of the Spirit that's coming forth from my life. See, if I'm obeying Christ, and He's appointed me and He's chosen me so that I might bear fruit. You know what? Go on and turn to Galatians 5. Go on in there just for a moment. I want to ask you a question about this. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 22 for just a moment. Fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let me ask you a question about this. Has there anything ever been negative about your life when you see love of God coming out of your life? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. So, I mean, isn't that just a great place to be living? I mean, don't you want to live there? I mean, Jesus said, listen, I chose you so that you go bear this fruit. And much fruit. That's why I chose you. As a matter of fact, folks, if He chose you, what I love about it is that He's going to choose me to see this happen in my life. Now, go up a few verses and let me ask you a question. Verse 19, deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Listen, if you've ever lived in immorality, sensuality, and you've lived in these sexual sins, I want to ask you, impurity, has it ever brought 1 ounce of lasting happiness and lasting joy in your life? No. Scripture says that not only the deeds of the flesh are those, but they're idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, faction. Folks, has there anything ever come out of your life positive when you're living that way? Well, why do you want to keep living that way? God chose you to be holy and blameless, to bear much fruit, not to bear the fruit of the enemy. His choice for you is so that you might be an example of His grace and His mercy. And an example of His grace and His mercy is not going on and living under the deeds of the flesh and saying, well, that's God's grace. No, God's grace is He gives you the power to see those things forsaken and the fruit of the Spirit come forth from your life. I chose you so that you might bear fruit and that you might bear much fruit, not just a little bit, but much fruit, and that the fruit should remain. In other words, folks, it's this choosing that says it's going to continue in your life and it's going to be much. We live bearing eternal fruit. We live holy and blameless. We live also with great faith, confidence, and joy. Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And therefore, folks, we have this faith, this confidence, and this joy. I know that when I'm walking in faith, it brings such a confidence in my life, an authority. And I've noticed in my life that when I have confidence and authority, I have this euphoric joy in my life. And if I have a confidence that I've been chosen and that God has started this work and He's going to finish it, then I'm going to have this absolute joy in my life from there to kingdom come. I want to ask you, are you a joyful person today? I mean, just to know that God loves you enough to birth within you the faith, to give you the confidence, and then to see the joy come out of your life. Finally, folks, we need to be living a lifestyle that imitates Him. Go to Romans chapter 8 for a moment, and we'll close with this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 is where we'll begin. Actually, let's begin in 22. We know that the whole creation is groaning and suffering the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we've been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he's already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And so in the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts
knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who are loving God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Because, this is why we know it, because we know whom he foreknew, now watch, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And so whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Glorified. Like Christ. Walking like him. If he predestined us, if he chose us from the foundation of the world, if he foreknew us, it was to become conformed to the image of his Son, which is what we've been talking about of living this lifestyle, imitating the Lord Jesus Christ, our firstborn of many brethren. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Peter writes to us and says, not only do we not belong to this world, we're aliens, but we belong to the one who's chosen us. And because we're chosen, we have great opportunity today. Great opportunity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And I guess that's where I just really want to concentrate in the next couple of minutes. Are you bearing the eternal fruit of the Spirit? Am I a lover of God or am I a lover of people, the world, the lover of the kingdom, the lover of myself? Is there a joy in my life? Or am I just grumpy, critical, unhappy? Folks, you're chosen today. Chosen of God. I'm asking you today. Believe it. Rejoice in it. Doesn't mean that you just sit still and you sit there. No, you respond. You respond to the two inseparable principles of salvation. You're chosen, and you have a choice. And I can't explain it, but I just know one thing. That if I'm chosen of God, I ought to be the happiest, most joyful, satisfied man on the planet. And I guess my response to this word, and hopefully your response will be, God, thank you for loving me and choosing me. Thank you for thinking of me above all. Today, I choose to follow after you. Today, I choose to walk after you with everything that I am. Lord, I choose to repent of my sin. I choose to believe in you and return to you today. Because, Lord, I want to thank you for choosing me. I'm a chosen one. A saint of God, loved by God, saved by God. The flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. And I receive that Spirit today. And I thank you for it. I hope that's your response today. I hope your response is going from this place, being the happiest, satisfied man, woman, son, daughter on the planet. Father, I thank you for that joy today. I thank you for choosing us. Lord, I want to thank you that in this letter, not only to the aliens scattered, but to every one of us that do not belong to this world, you say that we've been chosen. And Father, I pray that we would see what we're chosen to and we would walk from this place to live it out. Oh God, give us a grateful spirit today. I thank you, I bless you, praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.